Listener's discretion is advised.
Let's go. Good evening to all of the parties who are listening here tonight on this Sunday night edition of Random Stuff Season 4. Now let's get to... What? God damn it. Oh, shit. Well, folks, we got some breaking news once again. That means it's time to skip the goddamn monologue and get to the breaking news edition of Meanwhile, called...
Breaking Meanwhile!
And not only that, folks, in this breaking news edition of Meanwhile, called Meanwhile, but it's also... a segment within a segment where we have to detect something that we don't know called Detecting Stuff. In this segment of Detecting Stuff is where we finally figure out the answer to what's inside CM Punk's bag. Well, last night on AEW Collision on TNT, CM Punk had finally revealed what's inside that red bag. So, here CM Punk revealing to everybody what's inside the bag.
Ricky Starks has a lot to do with what's in the bag. He's beat me twice, once in a singles. Congratulations, Ricky. I'm not mad at you. I'm a little disappointed. Twice in a tag match. More pissed off for Darby Allin than I am myself. Like I said last week, I can take the L. Can you take the win knowing that you're just a cheater? As far as the bag goes, it's not so much that I've been carrying it around, but it's that I've been left holding it. And that's the funny thing about responsibility, Tony Schiavone. It sucks a lot of the time. Sometimes you gotta wake up and do some things that you don't want to do because you're the responsible adult in the room. So what's in the bag? Starks is a cheater, and I think since I've been back, he's mistaken my kindness for weakness. And when I came back holding this very same red bag in my hand, I said I wasn't going to be nice anymore. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is me not being nice anymore. Because the truth doesn't care if you're nice, the truth doesn't care if you're right or wrong. But in this case, I'm right. champion. I am the real world's champion. This title has my name on it. Not because I deserve it, but because I earned it. Nobody has pinned me or submitted me for this title. This title is still covered in my blood from last September when I beat Jon Moxley for it. And since then, nobody's beaten me for it. It's got my name on it. It's got my blood on it. And now it's got my symbol on it. Represented CM Punk since 1997. This X is the foundation I have built my professional wrestling career on. This X means I'm straight edge, and straight edge means I'm better than you. This title is mine. It belongs on Collision, and this title is not stolen, unlike my catchphrase. I am the real world's champion.
Oh, the AEW championship that CM Punk had to, one, relinquish, and two, being stripped of. And of course, Maxwell Jacob Friedman is the current AEW champion who has to deal with Adam Cole in the Blind Tag Team Tournament as they lost to FTR. Those AEW tag titles are still with the FTR. But also, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have stole another catchphrase, Real World's Champion. Now, who the hell did I heard that phrase? I mean, what? Oh, what the hell am I doing? Who the fuck did I heard that phrase from? Let's travel back to 1991 when Ric Flair arrived at the World Wrestling Federation. And, well, he did a promo against, at that time, the WWF champion Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper. And he said this.
In my absence, the greatest mind in our sport brought my World Heavyweight Championship trophy out on national television. Not to be braggadocious, not to show off, but merely to let the world know that the real world's heavyweight champion was going to be coming to the WWF.
Wow. Maybe the C in CM Punk is copycat. And the M for CM Punk is maniac. So we should call him the Copycat Maniac Punk. And then Ricky Starks, the cheater, decided to show up and interrupt. And then he said this to CM Punk last night.
You know, that was a great old story you told there. But to be honest with you, Ricky's kind of sold on gold right now. And the way that I see it is, regardless of how you feel or how I went about things, you would have done the exact same thing. So I bit you before you could ever bite me, pal. Would you hold in? Listen, get this shit out of here. What you have on your shoulder right now belongs to me. I feel like I am owed that. Whatever you have is mine. I have beaten you not once, but I've beaten you twice. And that is more than but I'm also the face of Collision. Are you the face of Collision, Ricky, or are you the face of cheating? Did you beat me twice? Or did the referees beat me twice? Brother man, I could have Stevie Wonder as my ref and I would still be able to beat you. So the way that I see it is, a win is a win. And that title should belong to me, to moi, to Ricky Starks, to Absolute, to the man with the plan. Sounds like Ricky wants a title shot, Tony.
No, it's not that Ricky wants
a
title shot.
It sounds like Ricky wants a title shot, Hunter.
I deserve a title shot.
Two referees, and it's a thankless job. Those guys, I don't blame them. But if I'm going to wrestle you again, if you want a shot at the title, I'm going to need extra eyeballs out here. I'm going to need a special guest referee.
Perfect. That's perfect. I would love that. I have no problem with that because it's no secret that you don't have any friends around here. So if you got a dig, man, let's call a spade, if you got to dig in your past, you got to bring out Julio De Niro, Dave Prazak, you got to go up to Stanford and get somebody, whoever it is, I don't care, because if I did it once, baby, I can do it twice, because Absolute Ricky Starks is so damn nice.
Well, I anticipated this a little bit, and I did make some phone calls. And you're right. If we have a match, we're going to have a special guest referee, and it is somebody from my past.
Perfect.
You really want a shot at the champ?
I absolutely deserve a shot at the champ.
You got it. Looks like we have a match next week on Collision in Greenville, South Carolina. How about that? Hang on, Ricky. Tony, I feel like you should do the honors. You want to tell them who the special guest referee is going to be?
I'd be honored to. Next week, Greenville, Collision, live on TNT, the special guest referee. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat!
Whoa! No way! And Nigel, Ricky Steamboat, has refereed CM Punk's matches before. He's never cheated in his life. I think back to Ring of Honor, he called it right down the middle, but he was a referee there in matches with Punk, and he's never broke a single rule. He is the most straight and narrow athlete we've ever seen.
It was a very intense rivalry between Ricky Starks and CM Punk. And now, next week from yesterday, will be another CM Punk night at the AEW Collision. But this time, things are going to get feisty. Because as announced by Tony Schiavone, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat will be the special guest referee in the matchup to ensure that there'll be no cheating allowed. Right, Ricky Starks? I mean, I absolutely think that Starks is going to cheat to win because that is what he does in his lifetime. Or maybe CM Punk is going to even things up by cheating himself. But as said by Kevin Kelly or as The Rock calls him, Hermie, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat has never, ever broke the rules of being an official. And, as Hermie said, that Steamboat has officiated matches when CM Punk was involved, when Punk was at the other wrestling promotion called the Ring of Honor, where, in fact, Punk has been a champion in that company. But this is as more personal than I thought it would be. So if you have a TNT network, please go watch AEW Collision next Saturday, as it will go down. CM Punk, the self-proclaimed real AEW champion, against Ricky Starks in probably what most people will call it, the rubber match. Or not. But anyways, please tune in. But after this brief ad, we are going to get to the Quarantine Wild segment. So stay tuned, folks, on this final Sunday of the month of July of 2023, right here on Random Stuff Season 4.
It's late into game night. You've played everything. It's time for a game that'll challenge you mentally and emotionally.
We do have one other game. Oh, what is it?
Let's talk about Israel.
No, it's not.
Navigate your way through the Holy Land, stopping to pick up neutral talking points along the way. But if those talking points offend anybody...
Obviously, this is all very complicated.
Nice one, Dave.
And I'm certainly no expert.
Could have fooled me.
But it just seems like the Israeli response is... disproportionate?
You'll spend hours navigating this conversational minefield and having no fun doing it.
Well, this conflict goes back a long, long way.
Just nice and vague.
But when one force occupies... Am I not allowed to say that word?
I don't know. These rules are hard to follow.
You might not know what you're talking about, but don't let that stop you from weighing in.
I feel bad for anyone, anywhere who's uncomfortable about anything.
Aww.
Pass the hummus.
Oh, you want to give Hamas a pass?
No. That's not what I said.
That is not what he said.
Just like the real conflict, this game may never end.
The two-state solution. The violent escalation. If both sides.
What the hell do you want from me? Let's talk about Israel. Not fun for the whole family. From the makers of Daddy's Cheating on Mom.
I don't ever want to play this game again.
Back, folks. Now let's get to that Quarantine While segment. It is the quarantine version of Meanwhile, called
Quarantine While.
In this Quarantine While segment is where we get to hear the origins of the pit stencil at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in preparation of every single event, no matter if it's an IMSA event or a NASCAR event or even an IndyCar event, in a road course or an oval, especially this year's Indianapolis 500. But how does it all came true? Like, why is it that they not put an original, you know, their normal pit stencil, like the team name, the number, or the sponsorship, like all the NASCAR races that I've seen, or IndyCar races that I've seen? Well, the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Doug Bowles, explained it when this one of the episodes of Behind the Bricks that was uploaded on the YouTube channel of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So here it is. Enjoy from the IMS president, Doug Bowles, about the origins of the pit lane stencil.
Hey, Indianapolis Motor Speedway fans, Doug Bowles here with you for another episode of Behind the Bricks. You know, it is about history and tradition here at the Speedway, all kinds of them. And one of them, I think you probably know, is when you come in on race morning, you sit down in your seats, pit lane has the driver's names, their car name, and their car number right there where they're going to pit during the race. Did you ever wonder how that happened, how long that tradition's been going, and how we do it today? Well, on this episode, you're going to see.
So putting the names on pit wall is something that actually dates back to 1911. As we look through the archives and the photos, you can see that that began. And what you saw on the wall was the number and the manufacturer of the car. You didn't see the name in the early days. And those were the pit stalls where those cars were assigned the entire month of May. As you get into the 19-teens, you actually get to see that sometimes we put a flag on there representing the manufacturer of the car, where those cars were from. But it was really 1927 when they began to start putting drivers' last names associated with the numbers along pit wall. Sometime around 1930, they began to drift away from manufacturers, and it was really just focused on the car, the driver's name, and the entrance name. In 1937, they added the full name above the numbers. And then in these photos from 1945, as the Speedway had been dormant for a few years because of World War II, you can still see the stencil that was left in the wall from the last race held before the Indianapolis 500 closed down for World War II. After World War II, Tony Holman bought the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and the first 500 after World War II was 1946. And that's really when you see the driver's name become the prominent name on the wall. You saw the car and the entrant name on the left, the number was right there in the middle, and then the driver's name on the right. And then in 1948, they changed it and put the driver's name on the left, the number in the middle, and the car and entrant on the right. And it really remained that way, except for some minor font changes, until the mid-1970s, when they moved the number to the end. In 1980, they changed it back to the way that it was pre-mid-1970s change. And this was the format and the style that remained there ever since. You know, when you look at these, it's amazing. You think about the painting. It was hand-painted, hand-stenciled, really until after the 2009 race. And starting in 2010, and the way we do it today, we print big decals, and those decals get put on the wall. And that's what we did this year as we led into the 2023 Indianapolis 500. So we're now inside behind turn three, and this is where the magic happens. Those names that you see on the wall, they start right here on this vinyl machine. I'm with Kyle Knight, who's our graphics production lead here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We trust him to do thousands of signs that you see around the Speedway. But maybe the most fun job you have is getting to print these wall signs.
Of course. It's a really cool collaborative effort, too, because we pull in folks from facilities, folks from our marketing team, social team. They'll usually come out and try and capture a little bit here and there. So it's really fun to get a group of people out there to really pull this thing off and make sure it turns out exactly how we're looking for.
And then the font size is the same for everybody. So they're limited in the characters or what they can put in there. Yes. So everything looks consistent across.
Yes. I think they're capped at, we've got 40-foot pit boxes, so we got to make sure that that character limit doesn't exceed that. Otherwise, names start getting squished and it doesn't look quite as appealing.
Well, one of the beautiful things is actually seeing them look alike all through the pit boxes.
Yeah.
So if you have a short driver name,
yeah,
you got more room for other stuff.
Of course, yeah.
So you're printing two right now. We're printing Ryan Hunter Ray and Graham Rahal.
Yeah.
So normally they come out together. This process for these names, for these two names, how long will this take?
This will take about an hour and 45 minutes. Like I said, we're capped at 40 feet. 40 feet of print takes a little bit of time.
So there you go. This is where it begins, where the names come out, and pretty soon we're going to take you and show you where the names end up. So when you walk in here on race day, you know where those names came from along pit wall. Now that we know the history of the pit sign wall, where it started, how it's been here, and that since 2010, it's been a decal on the wall instead of hand-painted, behind me, this group is going to go put it on for this year's Indianapolis 500. These guys behind me and gals behind me, they do a lot of different things here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but this morning, everybody's on the sign team. So there you have it, race fans, the story behind another tradition at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and how we're doing our best to continue something that started in 1911. All these signs for this year's 107th running of the Indianapolis 500 presented by Gainbridge, 38 minutes. It took them 38 minutes to have all 33 drivers ready for you when you showed up here on race day.
Well, there you have it, folks. The origins of the pit road stencil, as told by the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Doug Bowles. And now, those pit road stencils will need to be prepared again in the month of August as the IndyCar / NASCAR doubleheader at the road course version of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway will take place, and it might be the last time ever because there is a plan that NASCAR is going back to the oval version of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and of course, in simultaneously bringing back the Brickyard 400, and of course, it will mark the 30th anniversary since the very first appearance, official appearance of NASCAR stock cars in a racetrack for the Brickyard 400, so it might be appropriate to do so. Now, after this brief ad, we're gonna get to one of the iconic songs by Matchbox 20, all because of Ryan Gosling and the new Barbie movie. Well, why in the blue fuck would I say that? Well, you better know your role and shut your goddamn mouth, and we'll get to listen to it. So stay tuned, folks.
First dates, am I right? I was actually excited about this one, so of course, I got my period today.
I want a period option that's convenient and discreet, so I don't have to worry about leaks, odors, or anything.
When I'm at work, I don't have time to run back and forth to the bathroom. I want to be able to forget all about it.
Now you can, with Pink's period underwear, the super absorbent period panties that can hold up to 12 hours of you-know-what. You'll be covered all day long, no matter what, and the only person who has to know you're on your period is you.
Now my period is my little secret.
Oh, a dog! Oh, look at that.
Finally, an underwear that's as natural as you.
That kind of hurts.
Pink's period underwear is made of all organic materials and is way more eco-friendly than tampons.
I love not having to bring a bag of supplies wherever I go.
I love not having to think about it.
Now I get to do me, and Pink's does the rest.
Wow. Dogs really love you.
I have a cheeseburger in my pocket.
What?
Everyone is different. Pink's has options for every level of absorbency. Light, regular, super, tremendous, and biblical.
They're just a great pair of underwear that can hold everything. I love stinks. Sorry, Pink's.
So no more hiding, no more plastic, and no more stress. You should feel beautiful, human, attractive. Now you can walk proud. Have your period the way nature intended, with Pink's.
What do you want to do for dinner?
I can't hear you.
You want to get dinner?
I cannot hear you.
Oh my God!
Pink's period underwear. This is the best idea we got.
And we back, folks. Even though we're on the SAG-AFTRA / WGA strike, doesn't mean that I still get to introduce this song. Now, this song was featured from this year's Barbie the Movie, starring Margot Robbie as one of the Barbies and Ryan Gosling as one of the Kens, which, by the way, the song was called Push by Matchbox 20. Now, to honor that, here's the live 2012 iHeart Music Festival performance of the hit Push. Here's Matchbox 20.
Just said I don't know that I've ever been good enough.
That was Matchbox 20 with a live 2012 performance of Push from the 2012 iTunes Music Festival. Oh, how did I make that mistake? I said iHeart Music Festival, wasn't it? Oh my goodness. What a dumpster fire by me. Holy fucking shitballs. Anyways, after this brief ad, we wrap up the last episode of the month of July on a Sunday, right here on Random Stuff Season 4, so stay tuned, folks. Closed captioning for this podcast is brought to you by the following.
Hello again. We're climate scientists.
Real climate scientists, not actors.
5 years ago, we came on Jimmy's show.
We told you climate change is real.
That it's undeniably caused by human activity.
That it's going to be catastrophic.
And that we weren't with you.
Totally not with you.
I thought we made that clear.
But now it's 5 years later.
The globe is hotter.
Hurricanes are stronger.
Droughts are worsening.
Coral reefs are dying.
Wildfires are raging.
And floods are even floodier.
So we're back with a new message.
And we really hate to say this, but...
We told you so!
We told you so!
We told you we'd be by climate change.
And now we are, just like we said.
Good and hard.
Right up the greenhouse gas.
It's almost like we knew what we were talking about.
Scientists for the win.
Guess we weren't with you after all.
The planet is exactly as as we told you it would be.
You mother.
As you can see, 5 years ago, we were here at medium. Now we're closer to here, mostly. And we only have a few years left to take drastic action before we wind up here, totally and irreparably.
But we're still not completely.
There's still time to un some stuff.
If we, companies, government, all of us act right now,
we can save tens of millions, hundreds of millions of lives.
We can call it the great un.
Please, we're begging you.
For sake.
We're not with you.
Not with you.
We're seriously not you.
I wouldn't with you.
Kimmel, he would with you.
Let's work together
to un the world.
People are scientists who still aren't with you.
I think we're going to need a bigger dog.
So...
Sleep.
Folks, that is it for this Sunday edition of Random Stuff and the last episode of Random Stuff in the month of July of 2023. Be sure to tune in next week because they are the first two episodes of the month of August of 2023. So, folks, once again, thank you and good night.